All right, guys, I'd like for you to turn to the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. We're going to be looking at chapter 2. We're not going to be focusing on prophetic material today. We're going to be looking at chapter 2, which is part of the letters to the seven churches. These are letters that Jesus wrote to seven churches in Asia Minor in AD 90. And we're going to talk about the work that God's created for us. Now, let's kind of think back through what we've been talking about. I started out, this is my seventh lesson, I started out a few weeks ago talking to you about the reality that God created you to do something. He didn't just create you to go do your own thing. He created you to do works, especially if you're a believer. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he created you to do something for him. He has this, you are, in fact, a masterpiece, his workmanship. Okay, he takes pride in you. He delights in you. And he created you for good works that he has prepared for you. Now, immediately, our thoughts are, well, I'm not going to be a missionary. I'm not going to be a pastor, you know, or Sunday school teacher. What kind of works does he have for me? Well, remember, we went through the study and looked at works are basically the things that you do out of love for him for others. Remember, the judgment passage of Matthew 25, the judgment of the sheep and the goats, he looks to the sheep and he says, you know, enter into my rest. And they say, you know, and he says to them, because you did this for me. You were there for me when I was naked and you gave me clothes. You fed me. You visited me. You were there when I was sick. And they say, Lord, when did we do that for you? And he said, well, whenever you did this to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So it's the everyday things that we do every day for others. So we've talked about the motivation for that. You do it because he loved you, because he saved you, not for salvation, but because. Today we're going to focus on your heart. Whether you have a heart for it. I think everybody understands that, right? You know, I can remember having jobs when I was younger. My favorite job, okay? My favorite job was when I was in college. I was a bag crusher. What's a bag crusher, George? I worked on the ramp for Piedmont Airlines at the Columbia Airport in Columbia, South Carolina. What does a ramp agent do? Well, it brings in the airplanes, and I like doing that. Pushes the planes back. Love being on that big tug, pushing them back. Talking on the radio to the guy up in the tower. But my favorite part was putting the bags in the belly of the plane and just shoving them in there. Grinding them in there and having a garment bag bust open and all their buddies, you know, that was a bag crusher. Okay, I love that job. In fact, I questioned whether I should go into ministry or just, if I didn't make that decision, I'd be in an airplane somewhere right now. But, you know, at first my heart was in that job. But then when I made that decision to go study for the ministry and go to school, transfer from engineering over to studying scripture, my heart wasn't in it anymore. You ever heard somebody say, my heart's not in it anymore? Yeah. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, is your heart in it for doing things for God? Okay? Is your heart in it? Now, before we look at that, I just want to talk about the reality that we all face, because I want us to all be on the same page before we look at what the scripture tells us, the reality. Here it is. You may not realize it, but you're always engaged in some form of work. We think in terms of doing special things for God. That's the work. And then I just go on to live my life. No. Whether you realize it or not, you are always engaged in some form of work. It's either good work or bad work. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're always engaged. Now, how can you say that, George? Well, because that's the concept of the scripture. So if you go over, once you hold in chapter 2, if you go over to chapter 20, okay, chapter 20 is a passage about what it's going to be like after Jesus comes back, after his millennial kingdom. When you go to chapter 20 and you come to the great white throne judgment, this is when all humanity will stand before God. I want you to listen to what he says. Verse 12, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and then another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. So you're engaged in some kind of work. And a record is being kept of it. That's a scary thought, isn't it? You know, there are things that I've done I can't even remember doing. And that was just last week. But if you think about our lifetime, but the books will be open one day and the works that we have done will be judged. So you are, the reality is you may not realize it, but you're always engaged in some kind of work. What the scripture is trying to tell you is that as you are going about doing that work, your thoughts need to be to what he wants you to do. What he wants you to do with others. Because he has created you. You're his workmanship. You're his masterpiece. To do good things. To interact in other people's lives. Okay? Now, here's the second thing. The question is whether or not you have the heart to do the task that God has planned for you. That's really the issue. Do you have a heart for it? And I'd like to say, oh, I have a heart for it all the time. No, that's not true. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times I know that God wants me to do something by how much I don't want to do it. What do you mean, George? There's a lot of times when God presents me with someone or something that needs to be done, and I consider it and I look at it and I'm like, oh, I really don't want to do this. I'm a guy who looks at a situation and I think ahead and I ponder things. And a lot of times my pondering can be negative. So I think about, oh, this is going to be a problem. Do I really want to get involved with this? No, I don't want to do this. I'll give you a story. I was pastoring 30 years ago in Canada, first church I was at, church plant in Ontario. We were in a community. I took over from an older pastor who started the church, and then they called me as a younger pastor. This is my first church. I was 30 years old, and I went there, and I took over this church. And so I'm ministering in the community. We're trying to plant this church. Well, while I'm ministering in the community, I began to realize that there's another church.